And so I'm going to begin with our scripture. Titus, the second chapter. Hear ye the word of the Lord. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That is Titus, the 11th chapter, I'm sorry, the second chapter, the 11th through the 14th verse. And our scripture for the day is, or our text for the day, y'all, we're up to part 6 now. Spiritual beings having a human experience. The dichotomy of the cross. Grace upon grace. Now, today we're starting a new series. And the new series is called Grace Upon Grace Upon Grace. And so, when we think about grace and what grace means for us, I'm going to give you a definition. But before I jump to grace, I want to revisit and remind us what a dichotomy is, okay? Now, a dichotomy is a division or contrast between two things that are being represented as opposite or entirely different, or is backwards. Okay, now this right here, see how you have the darkness? Then you have the light of the cross in there. That is an example of a dichotomy. Things that are different, they seem different. Now, what is grace? Because, see, it takes grace for us to be able to appreciate the dichotomy that is constantly at work in us. The ultimate dichotomy, spiritual beings having a human experience. That's why we have to remind ourselves we're not only human. We are truly spiritual beings having a human experience. And whenever we keep remembering those things who make us who we are, that dichotomy becomes even more real for us. But what is grace? I love it when I get acronyms. So the acronym for grace is God's Reconciling Appreciation, Compassionate Care, and Empowerment Towards Us. God's Reconciling Appreciation, Compassionate Care, and Empowerment. Now I'm going to go into this a little bit, because whenever we think of God reconciling us to himself, that is the cross. And I guess if we pause to think, you're like, well, why would God reconcile us to him? He's God. So what is that about? God is in the business, if you will, of keeping order. Good orderly direction. That's God. Good orderly direction. So if we're going to live in a relationship with him that is from the viewpoint of good orderly direction, how is that going to be maintained, nourished, and sustained? God, our source, our power, empowers us to do that through his reconciliation in us, with us. And the next, the A, now when the Holy Spirit broke this down to me, I was like, oh my goodness. Do you know that God appreciates us? I never thought of God appreciating me. Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, that's like, good job. But I never thought of it in terms of appreciation. And then the Holy Spirit is so smooth. She's like, one of these days, you're going to get it. The reason you're able to do what you do is because I am that example of it. So how am I going to appreciate you, Brother Lawrence, if I haven't learned through God and God hasn't given us the example of what appreciation looks like? Look at somebody and say, God appreciates you. God appreciates you. Yes, God is sovereign, but guess what? He appreciates us because you know what? We are the visible image of his invisible grace, love, mercy, presence at work in this world. We bring the kingdom. Wherever we go, we're showing his love. God appreciates us when we're kind, when we're loving, when we're gentle, when we're compassionate to others. God is saying, I appreciate that. Because guess what? You're making me look good. Nobody wants anybody. Ooh, how many parents have had the child cut up in the store? And you'd be like, oh, if you don't stop propelling your body at those chips. Kids can make us feel kind of funny sometimes. Their behavior can be, I should have left you in the car. Or wait till we get to the house. I knew how to act. My mama and them didn't play that. Act up in public and see what's going to happen. Back in the day, if you acted up at somebody's house, they would chastise you, and then you would be chastised again when you got home. I don't know if those were the good old days or not, because two whippers sometimes just weren't worth it. I got it the first time, Jesus. We gonna make it stick on the second. So God appreciates us when we represent him. That just make me smile. Like that song brother was singing, it just make you feel good on the inside. God appreciates us. And then his compassionate care. I don't know about y'all, but ooh, that mean judgmental God waiting to get me. I prefer compassionate care. Because y'all know what I'm learning more and more each day. He loves us. Unconditional love in action is compassionate care and gentle redirection. He already knows we don't have a clue. Like they say, you don't kick a man when he already down. Do you really think God is going to do that to us? Everybody say, no. Our Father is compassionate and caring. Look at somebody and say, my Father is compassionate and caring. He knows how to discipline me without destroying me. He knows how to teach me without crushing my spirit. He knows how to redirect me. Let me know. And have y'all ever felt the God look? Is y'all relationship like that? When you literally feel the Holy Spirit and God going. My daddy had a look like that. That's where I learned it from. And he didn't have to say a word. I was like, I didn't know you could see that. Yeah. Did y'all ever have that kind of relationship? You thought you was doing stuff you didn't think God saw it. Oh, I did. Father, forgive me. I already seen what you did. I hope you didn't see that, Jesus. How can I not? So the way he is compassionate and loving in his care for us is just awesome. And he does all of that to empower us. While God is sovereign, he is the ultimate power. He empowers us so that we can be more like him. And I just think that's grace. That's grace. So Charles Fillmore defines grace as goodwill, favor, the disposition to show mercy, aid from God in the process of regeneration. The other grace was my definition. But Charles Fillmore says, goodwill, favor, disposition to show mercy. That means disposition is a willingness. Kind of got a thought about it, kind of have a mind about it. You might just do it. Some people just mean spirited, you know. It's a disposition too. But we have a disposition to show mercy because of our Father. And Ephesians 2:5 says, by grace we have been saved. That's where our disposition comes from. So let's talk about this process of regeneration a little bit. Because of God's reconciling grace towards us, we are empowered with compassionate care to be gracious and compassionate towards others. That's what regeneration looks like. It's another aspect of being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Regeneration is whenever we become more spiritual. Instead of just getting angry, we do have that moment and we can be curious instead of condemnational. We can just smile and say nothing instead of giving them the double-edged sword called our tongue. I don't know if you guys can see that picture very well, but it's kind of the light and the dark. That's my effort to try to see what that spiritual aspect of ourself and our human aspect looks like. Sometimes they're right there going, standing off. And the regeneration process for us is how we experience grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. And I want to say it that way because we experience grace. We receive grace so that we can give grace. It's a flow. Just think of a flow chart. God gives grace to you so that you're able to give grace to me, so that I'm able to give grace to somebody else, so that they're able. And the next thing you know, our circle becomes grace field. So, as spiritual beings having a human experience, what does the dichotomy of the cross through grace look like? Our little picture here, some things that empower us and strengthen us to know. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, Miss Essie, I may not be necessarily fussing and fighting with you. You may be a spiritual being who's challenging my humanity. And my spirit recognizes it, but my humanity wants to not. So I have a problem with you. That's a spiritual being having a human experience with another person. I am convinced that our spirits are able to recognize the spirits in others. So while we may be feeling like we're fighting with another person, it's their spirit or our spirit trying to bring forth and nurture out their spirit. But sometimes our humanity is not ready for the transformation. And this right here, in terms of rulers of the darkness of this world, how's this for a different way of looking? We tend to look out there for the rulers of darkness of this world. But actually, what that means is that part of ourself that will not back down, that has ruled us, but our spirituality is trying to come up. But see, I know me. I was ruled by my humanity. I really did think I was only human. That's what ruled me, my ego, my vanity, my feelings, my thoughts, my experiences, my logic. That is the ruler of the darkness of this world, my world, our individual worlds. It's when our humanity and that which has ruled us, could be anger, could be bitterness, could be anything. Sickness, heartache. It's not necessarily a political party or another group, but it's that part of us that's in the darkness that tries to control and rule us. And against spiritual wickedness in high places, I love this. What is the highest point on your body? This is the apex. Our heads. This is the high place. Yes, it's out there, but it begins here first. Spiritual wickedness, Jesus. But we were just talking about God's grace and how we receive grace and we send it out. Well, that's where we have an appreciation for 2 Chronicles. If my people, who are called by my name, will turn from their, what kind of ways? What kind of ways? Wicked ways. The wickedness in high places are those elevated places within us. Those idols, those astral poles, those places within us, we may not even recognize because it's a spirit. We can't see it. Can't see a spirit. But it comes out, it seeps out. Spiritual wickedness. What does spiritual, do I have to say? Okay. They say, y'all know what spiritual wickedness is, you know. Which is why you can't see the forest. We can't see the forest for the trees. I like this picture. We can't see the forest for the trees because we cannot see a situation that we are in as it truly is, and we get lost in the details and we lose perspective of the bigger issue. That's a conflict with that rulers of the darkness of our world, this world, and the spiritual wickedness in high places. We know so much about what we know. We won't listen to anybody. And sometimes the spirit has a hard time getting in there with us. That's when you're in too deep. And all we can see is this big tree right here. But there are all kinds of beams that we would do good to remove. Can't see the speck. All we see is this big tree. What is this? Whatever your this is in your face. I don't want to point. Holy Spirit says, don't point it out. That thing that's right here, and we can't see past it. All we see is this. And there's so much more beyond us. That is an absolute human experience. Because that which is spiritual, see how the light is in the background a little bit? See how even with the top, when you see the lights, how the light, there's always light there. The more we interact with their spirit, that light is what brings us to that 1% more. Now, let's get down to my favorite part of the dichotomy of the cross. The dichotomy of the cross is where, like Christ, we have suffered, we have experienced shame, and we have been sad. But when we think of the cross, and the cross, right there in that same moment, that suffering, shame, in the same cross, has salvation. It has God's glory, and it has divine success. On the one hand, Christ experienced, we experienced hate, horror, and all kinds of humiliation. But in the cross, we have God's holiness. Remember, be ye holy as your Father is holy. God's holiness is there. God's healing is there. And guess what? When somebody thinks they've humiliated you, what they don't realize is they've given you a wonderful spiritual lesson in what humility looks like. But you have to see it through the cross. Murder, madness, mayhem. Somebody is really out to get you. Take your job. Destroy your home, whatever. They are murdering your character, your name. Madness. Just can't call it. Mayhem, utter and complete chaos. One word, the cross, covers it all. And he calls it mercy. I love that. Lies, licentiousness, and lust. That in the cross looks like God's truth, life in Christ, and God's love. And more than anything, those things that nailed him to the cross, and us too. Greed, jealousy, envy. And that's where he empowers us to extend grace upon grace upon grace. The ultimate dichotomy of spiritual beings having this human experience is found in the cross. All that shame, the cross of beauty. The beauty of grace in action is our process of regeneration. What does that mean for us? When we go back to Titus, and I'm staying right there with verse 12. Titus tells us, or through the process of regeneration, and another word for regeneration is having the high place purified. Who shall dwell in the tabernacle in the high holy hill? Those with clean hands, pure hearts. Whenever we start experiencing those transformation, the regeneration, more of that spirit coming out of us rather than our humanity, that is our process of regeneration. And what does it look like? We deny ungodliness, the other dichotomy. We deny worldly lust. We are able to live soberly. And that doesn't mean drunken addictions or anything like that. Living soberly means being able to make wise decisions. Righteously. It helps us to live righteous, not argue with people about being right. There's a difference between being righteous and being right. The E-O-U-S that's added on to right, another word is for that E-O-U-S is grace. Upon grace. Do we have to be right, or are we being gracious, righteous? We can be godly. We can. That's part of the regeneration, the transformation process. And we do it in this present world. In other words, regeneration, transformation starts at home. We often want other people to change. And then maybe we'll change. But it starts. This is the present world. It's in my heart to serve the Lord. It's in our hearts, in our minds, Psalm 24, to make it to that hill. And that's what grace upon grace looks like. And so whenever we consider those dichotomies, add grace in the mix. 1% more spiritual, 1% more grace. Just a little bit more. Catch yourself before you wreck yourself. Let us stand on our feet right now. And just think about what grace upon grace means for us. Let's do a little practice here. Generally, we go down the dark side and we're grateful for whatever it is God has brought us out of. But let's start at a high point. Oh, think about that thing. You knew it was a miracle. You knew God was about to do something, and he did. His grace in action. Think about one of those places where he put a smile so big on your face, it kept you happy for a while. Think about one of those places. And let's start there and build our grace and keep building our grace. And just remember, do you remember the times when he put this, oh my goodness, joy unspeakable, full of glory in your heart? Do you remember the time when you were just minding your own business? You were like literally middle of the road, and somebody came by and they just said something, or they just looked at you, or they complimented you. They just gave you some grace. As we go forward, let's remember those times of grace and exceeding great joy, because it's in his presence there is what? Fullness of joy. if our Father has forgiven us of our sin and our transgression, and he has thrown them into the sea of forgetfulness, let's practice what he does. Oh, Joseph Murphy says, we sometimes don't necessarily need memory, we need forgettery. Imagine your own sea. That stuff that kind of lurks around in there, oh, it just won't go away. Imagine your sea of forgetfulness. Because what grace does for us, that is God. He's got a great big old sea. I promise you, on behalf of them, he's not going fishing. He's not going fishing. He says it's time for us to stop. Let bygones be bygones. That's why Paul says, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. Keep going forward. What's behind us cannot compare to his grace upon grace upon grace that's in front of us. So, if there's something in your heart that you want to just be joyful and practice about, just let's go back into that silence one more time. Let's begin, or shall I say, let's end the way we began. Breathe in their grace. Fruit of the Spirit, his righteousness. Loving God, we thank you for your grace, for reconciling us back to yourself, and reminding us, teaching us that you appreciate us. It is your compassionate care that empowers us to be like you, to think like you, to speak like you, to love like you. It's in you that we receive grace upon grace upon grace. And as we receive the more, thank you for empowering us to extend the more. And for this we say thank you. For it is in your holy name we pray. Amen. And if all hearts and minds are clear, let's stand in a way. Hold our hands out. The dichotomy. Surrender and receiving. See, when our hands are up in surrender, our hands are also open to receive. So receive this blessing. Out of his fullness, we have received grace in place of grace already given. It's from Christ's abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. And it is from Christ's fullness we have all received grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. May you go forth in his grace. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.